You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Where did it go, folks? Where did another calendar year go? Welcome to the final broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program for 2013. It has been, as they all end up being, another banner year for us here in Memphis. And tonight, folks, we are going to ring in the new year a couple of days early in celebration of the year that was for the Political Cesspool, during this special presentation broadcast that's going to feature appearances from the entire hosting staff and production crew. You're going to hear from, of course, Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Peter Scoop Stanton, Sam Bushman, and more before this show is over tonight. This is, I guess you could say, the second most fun show we have each year, behind only the birthday broadcast there in late October of every year, the Year in Review show. We're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to be revisiting a couple of top 10 lists, as Winston Smith does annually. A little later on in the show tonight, you'll look forward to his countdown of the top 10 most hateful occurrences of 2013. And then the main event of tonight will come in the third hour when I unveil the top 10 moments for the political cesspool in the year that was 2013. Our top 10 moments, I had a lot of fun going through the archives, going through the blog over the course of the last 12 months a couple of nights ago, and compiling this this list. A couple of the things I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And I've come up with the official top 10 list. But we'll be asking everyone tonight that joins us on the air what their favorite political cesspool moments were and what they expect the show to accomplish and what may lay in store for us in 2014. It's all coming your way tonight. Now, Keith Alexander has a family obligation coming up a little bit in just a few minutes, actually. So Keith is not in studio with me tonight, but he has joined us via telephone. And as I said in the studio, Keith is joining us on the line now. Keith, how are you tonight, brother?
Doing great. And since we're not going to have a show before the new year comes in, Happy New Year.
An early Happy New Year from Keith Alexander to everyone, and certainly from me as well. And again, Keith, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Certainly, our listeners are having fun. I want to share with you a couple of items that have come in via email and letter this week or since last week's show. We are apparently becoming a hit with truck drivers. There is a listener named Charles who is a truck driver and a former veteran, a blue-collar guy, which certainly personifies our audience, and he has been leaving CDs of our show at Pilot truck stops, and is leaving CDs of our show on the information rack at truck stops, and he's a big fan of the show, and he says he knows a lot of other truck drivers who are keeping America supplied, they do. And this is something that he has undertaken as his own mission, Keith, to spread the good news there to his colleagues, and we're thankful for Charles for doing so, are we not?
Oh, absolutely. Look, we're an underground phenomenon. We are the original voice of the underground here in America, supposedly the land of the free and the home of the brave. We may still be the land of the brave, but we're certainly not the home of the free anymore. It's amazing that this show, run on a shoestring, was last week number four of all web stream followed programs in the entire world, according to the what's the name of that group, the webinar
TalkStream Live is the name of the website that audits this information and compiles it. And you know, we mentioned this and have been mentioning this for several weeks now, talking about our official ratings. And of course, you know, folks, when you take that into account, you've got to remember it's not even tallying up those who are listening on the terrestrial stations, which give us our credibility and legitimacy to a great extent, the AM and FM stations that carry us. This is just those who are tuning in online. And yes, as Keith mentioned, we peaked at number 4 last week. And folks, that is what you have accomplished. You have accomplished. I wish sometimes that you had more capable leaders, and it wasn't just me and Keith and Winston and Eddie, but what we've done as your proxy is something that you should take great pride in as we round out the year, to be in the top 10 every week since August. We had never broken into the top 10 until this fall, and now we have been in the top 10 every week and have peaked twice now at number 4, including last week's show. Keith, you cannot talk about that enough, and we really want to impress upon the audience how important of an accomplishment that is as we reflect on what we've done this year tonight.
It's astounding when you think of it. We're up here. We're ahead of Sean Hannity. We're ahead of Bill O'Reilly. We're ahead of Kim Komando show. We're ahead of Laura Ingraham. We're ahead of just about everybody that you would name that's a big name in talk radio. So consequently, if America was fair, if America was not run by the usual suspects, who are the personification of liberalism, this would be one of the top shows that you would be listening to all the time on your AM radio, everywhere in America, everywhere in Canada, everywhere in the free world. And unfortunately, that's not the case, but it's not because our message is unpopular or that we just have a little niche audience. Our message apparently resonates with people throughout the world, and they can't get enough of it. We just need to find some way to break through the iron curtain of, the Jewish-run media.
Keith,
that's the long and the short of it.
As I mentioned last week, we haven't had a single moment that has defined the evolution of this program. It has been many moments over a long, hard 9 years of work that have built us to where we are today. And we take a lot of pride in that because we're proud of the people for whom we advocate. And people are saying, well, no, come on, you're saying you're bigger than Sean Hannity. You're bigger than Bill O'Reilly. Well, I mean, we don't outrank, or we don't have an audience bigger than theirs, or than what they draw, I should say, during the week. Now, when you see those ratings on Saturday night, we are number 4 in our time slot. Now, certainly they are not aired live on Saturday night. We're going up against some of their replays. But yes, we do outdraw their replays. And we do go up against other live shows, and we outdraw them too. At least we rank in the top 10. And what
would we do, James, if we were actually given the opportunity to go head-to-head with them on broadcast radio on a weekly basis during their time slot? Quite frankly, I think we would give a very credible showing. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we were more popular than them.
No, I wouldn't either, Keith. I would not either. They start out with 400-plus affiliates from the get-go. We started out with a single affiliate in Memphis in 2004, and we have built our audience from a single listener all the way up to a top 10 show that is at least in the conversation with these people. If we were put on Fox News, if we were put on Clear Channel, now, frankly, I wouldn't leave Liberty News Radio. I wouldn't leave this network for anything. But if we had access to the markets that they do, I think certainly we would be making the millions that they do, and we would outrank them even in drive time. Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks, but it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show, the final show of 2013. I want to ask Keith to begin to think about what his favorite moments were. Keith has been here just about every week, maybe 50 of the 52 shows we've done this year he was a part of and a big part of. So I want to ask Keith a little bit later this hour before he bids us adieu what his favorite moments were this year and where he expects the show to go in 2014, what accomplishments lay ahead for us. But first, Keith, let me ask you this. How did you spend your Christmas night, the night of December 25th?
Well, spend it with my family, okay? That's, I basically spent my mother and children, and that's, the new family, my mother, my wife, of course, has passed on.
So you spent Christmas night.
That's really the way that I think you ought to spend it.
So you spent Christmas night with your mother and your children. You mean you didn't spend Christmas night storming a movie theater to see Tyler Perry's latest film, jumping on cars, vandalizing property, and attacking policemen?
No, and I didn't spend it checking shoes either.
I'm sorry, Keith. I forgot you're white. No, but if you were a teenager, according to the article, and you lived in Jacksonville, Florida, there was a good chance that you were one of the 600 black people that were involved in a movie theater brawl. Now, I can think of a lot of things that I've done on Christmas night over the years, but trying to storm a theater to see a Tyler Perry movie isn't one of them. Teenagers were arrested, the story reads, when a 600-person brawl, 600 people, folks, that's a riot, broke out in a Florida movie theater's parking lot on Christmas night. Described by police as a melee, the fight occurred around 8:30 p.m., again on Christmas night, at the Hollywood River City Movie Theater in Jacksonville, Florida, when a group tried to storm the theater's doors without purchasing tickets. Several had rushed an off-duty police officer working as a security guard. That security guard followed protocol and dispersed pepper spray into the crowd and then called for backup. upward of 600 people moving throughout the parking lot about the size of a football field, then began fighting one another and jumping on cars. 62 police officers responded to the scene to break up the brawl, sequestering them and separating them. Among the people who were arrested, Keith, their names are Tevin, T-E-V-Y-N, Alonza Davis, Jaquade Marquise Miller, and Khalil Ahmad Bradley. You can guess perhaps the ethnicities there. Many of the people in the 600-person crowd took a fighting stance when confronted by police and told to leave the area. Again, this isn't the way I'd spend Christmas night, Keith, but what do I know?
Give you a new insight as to why our ancestors thought segregation was a good idea. Would you really want to be in that crowd? Would you really want people that behave like this to be your next door neighbors?
And here's the thing, Keith, we can laugh about it because of the absurdity of it. You know, just reading it on paper, you throw that off. But what if I was at that movie theater that night with my wife and daughter just to see, you know, to see a movie? I wouldn't go to a movie theater on Christmas night. But let's just say there was some honest, decent family that happened to be there with their children when that was happening. That would have put them in a very dangerous situation. And of course, with us being white in the knockout game phenomenon, who knows what would have happened?
You know, it's just the evidence is just overwhelming that this violence has a racial component. And none of the mainstream media will acknowledge the truth. It's up to us to be the little boy that told the emperor that he had no clothes. But we keep reporting these things, and, you know, there's never any shortage of stories like this. There's just shortage. There's a grave shortage of news coverage of these stories. And whenever they are covered, they always leave out the most important factor, which is race.
No, but they mentioned the most important factor, according to them, that these people were mainly teenagers. And anytime you have an occurrence like this that involves teenagers, you can do the math. And we actually have a few pictures of those who were arrested, and they all share something in common. Keith, if you can hang on one. Yeah, and where was the parental supervision that night? I mean, again, the decay of the nuclear family in that particular community is something that plays a big part into this. But, Keith, if you could hang on for about 30 seconds, Eddie the Bombardier Miller was not supposed to be introduced until the second hour, but he can't help but say a 30-second bit about this particular story.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's to my brother Keith. Keith, I'll tell you what, you know, we've always talked about we're men of action. I believe in taking action and solutions here. Here's the solution. I'm old enough. I remember I lived through Little Rock, Arkansas when Eisenhower called in the troops and sicked the troops on the white people in Little Rock, Arkansas. I was a kid there in grammar school. I remember and I lived through when the troops came into Oxford, Mississippi to get James Meredith forced in the University of Mississippi. I remember and I lived through Birmingham, Alabama, and I also remember when the troops, federal troops, opened fire on unarmed protesters at Kent State University. I say, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. When these animals riot like that, if you're going to break the Constitution and violate posse comitatus, well, by God, you can do it for the blacks too. Bring in the National Guard. If you have to, open fire on the suckers like they did on the white people of those cities I named. And that's my solution right there, my brother Keith.
Well, I tell you, you make a very interesting point. The use of federal military troops to enforce a desegregation order at the Little Rock Central High School was in direct violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. That's exactly the type of situation that the Posse Comitatus Act was intended to prevent. It was a precondition, basically, for Southern states more or less getting back into the program with the federal government after Reconstruction. It was an anti-Reconstruction measure, and it's no accident, Eddie, that the Civil Rights Movement was known in the South and in elsewhere as Second Reconstruction.
All right, Keith, let me switch gears here very quickly and see if you can give me a quick hit on this one. An Obamacare ad has targeted sodomite enrollees in New York. This is an ad that we have featured on our website tonight. We're not going to play it, but it features four homosexuals, They're not wearing shirts, but they do have Santa Claus hats on. And this nauseating commercial, which was aired in full view of children and any decent family, encourages sodomites to enroll in Obamacare. It was aired in New York State. I guess every day is Christmas if you're a member of the support group for the regime. But as other commenters on our website have mentioned, basically what you have here is, in addition to the horrendous commercial, is people engaging in random sex with other men unprotected, then filing a claim for HIV or other deadly diseases that are going to be completely footed by the federal government at the taxpayer's expense. This ad, again, featured on our website, aired in New York.
Well, it shows you exactly what Obamacare was intended to accomplish. And I don't see any ads encouraging white heterosexual couples and their families to enroll. I haven't seen that ad yet, but I've seen all of these over-the-top efforts in the ghetto in Memphis to get all black people to sign up. Now we have homosexuals being exhorted to sign up.
And they've taken the tune.
What Obamacare is for is to shift resources out of Medicare, which provided health care for old people as a reward for contributing to the government with their taxes most of their productive life, and shift those resources to young, which tend to be non-white.
And they've taken a classic Christmas carol and put in, if you find Mr. Right, and it's another man singing, you know, this is what you do, enroll in Obamacare. So basically, those with self-inflicted illnesses and diseases are going to continue to overwhelm the system while people like us pay the bill. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Keith, we're going to have to make haste, my friend. And remember, before this segment ends, and I know this is the last segment you have with us tonight, I'm going to ask you your favorite moments from 2013 of the political cesspool and what you would like to see happen in 2014 for the show. But first, I got to get to two more stories with you. The NFL now is nearly forcing teams to hire minority coaches. And if you're the owner of an NFL franchise with a head coaching vacancy, you'd better just go ahead and give it to a black guy or else face the repercussions. After the 2012 NFL season, a few teams had head coaching vacancies. And despite the presence of the Rooney Rule, which is already there, which forces teams to interview whether they're a good fit or not, at least one minority candidate for head coaching job. No minority coaches were hired in 2012, or no additional minorities were hired in 2012. The NFL does not want that to happen again, according to this story that I'm reading from CBS Sports. So the league has now assembled a panel of experts to help teams identify the top black coaching candidates, according to Sports Illustrated. Basically, what they've done here, Keith, is with a head coaching position in Houston already come open, the panel has quickly finalized its top black coaching candidates, and they're going to freely distribute this to Houston and any other NFL team that might have a job opening. It includes former black coaches in the league, as well as a list of minority candidates from the college ranks. And my response to this is that, in a nutshell, the NFL already has a rule in place, the Rooney Rule, that forces teams to interview, as I mentioned, at least one non-white candidate to fill any given head coaching vacancy, regardless, again, of whether or not the candidate is actually a good fit for the personnel. And since that wasn't enough to guarantee a black hire, the league has now developed a panel of so-called experts to create a list of the best unemployed black coaches. The pressure is clearly on, Keith, by the NFL to crank up an affirmative action hiring plan when it comes to these positions. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see franchises fined if this velvet hammer approach falls flat. Now, I have this crazy belief that positions should be awarded based upon merit rather than skin color, but I guess that's an outdated notion if I'm the NFL commissioner.
It's an outdated notion for America generally, unfortunately, James. Apparently, the rules in places like France or admissions to places like Oxford and Cambridge in England, but the idea that we were going to have a colorblind selection process developed out of the civil rights movement was one of the most one of the biggest bamboozles of all time. For example, here in Memphis, we have Jewish affirmative action. We have new Jewish ownership of the Memphis Grizzlies, who are busily trying to run the team into the ground. This is an NBA basketball team, in order to have an excuse to move the team to Palo Alto to their sainted Blue State coastline area, where Jews apparently feel comfortable. They don't like it here in the Great American Desert, in the middle of nowhere. At least that's what we qualify as in their minds. We have Dave Yeager, who is a Jew, who has been hired as the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. And for the University of Memphis, we have Josh Pastner, another son of Israel, as the head coach. So apparently, you know, what all of this tells me is that really, the animus is not pro-black, it's anti-white, and they'll do anything to knock whites out. And furthermore, when we have whites as coaches, what most people don't do is extract the Jewish contingent out. If you did that, you would find that we are the least represented demographic category in all of these, you know, exalted positions, be it admission slots to Harvard Law School or NFL coaches and things like this, or NBA coaches. You know, you'll see that basically they are making white Gentiles walk the plank and we're having less and less representation. That is not a coincidence. That's by design.
Well, and Keith, you might remember that blacks already are overrepresented based upon their percentage of the population in the head coaching ranks of the NFL. But I see no concern by any of these sports leagues about the vast underrepresentation of white athletes. You know, there are some NBA teams that are 100% non-white. There is not one white player on the roster from the starting five to the 12th man on the bench. And, you know, the NBA is over 90% non-white. 9 out of 10 NBA players are non-white, and they were audited by some organization that was sanctioned to perform such a task, and the NBA got an A-plus in diversity. That whites represent less than 10% of the athletes in the NBA, despite 70% of the population or thereabouts, which we represent. That's an A-plus. But by God, if not every NFL...
Diversity doesn't mean diversity, James. It means anti-white. If you're anti-white enough, you get an A. That's what they're rewarding.
Well, there you go.
It's just a buzzword for anti-white.
And that, what else can we say about that? Now, let me switch gears to one last story I want to cover with you before we get to the top 10 or your top moments of the year, Keith. Two white men were lynched, so to speak, by a black art student. By a black art student. Eddie has his mouth agape here. But no, here it is. Eddie, I'm letting you see the picture. It was a real-life art experiment, so it featured living actors lynched from a tree, two white guys. And this I'll read the story. First of all, do you think you would have heard about this from the national establishment media if a white art student had presented a project that featured two black men being lynched? But here you have a African-American student in California, the story reads, lynched two white guys as an art project, resulting in yet another case in the accepted double standard in America when it comes to race. Christina Edwards, no relation to yours truly, a senior at Sacramento State University, hung the two white men from a tree with a thick rope to draw attention to what she calls social injustices and the issue of equality, of inequality that impacts her and her community.
Apparently she thinks lynching white people is the solution to that problem.
Well, first of all, let me just say this, Keith. The university responded to this story and said that she followed all campus procedures. Do you think if it had been a white student lynching two blacks as an art project, that they would have said it followed that white student followed all campus procedures? But here's another thing. Minorities are given race-based preferences when it comes to hiring, scholarships, and a whole host of other goodies in the form of affirmative action, quotas, set-asides, welfare, etc. This student, this art student, is delusional to act as though she has been the victim of any sort of social injustice. Heterosexual European Americans are the only group of people discriminated against because of their skin color in this country today. And so she has this chip on her shoulder that she's been denied access to something, that she's been discriminated against, and so therefore she has to put forth this art project to bring that into focus and bring that into the court of public opinion. Keith, she's suffering from some sort of mental disorder, not to mention the fact that the whole idea that white people routinely lynched blacks in the Old South is nothing more than a myth. It simply isn't true.
Look, it's time for people to wake up and smell the coffee. Virulent, murderous, anti-white bias is now being modeled, just like in Quentin Tarantino's treat for Last Christmas, Django Unchained, as mainstream entertainment. This type of thing will get more and more coverage. They're hoping it will provoke a reaction, what's called life imitating art. They want life to imitate art. They want white people killed. They want white people raped. They want white people lynched. It's that simple.
Well, that thing about white people
missing the major point here, and that's what it is. This is no accident, James.
No, it's not, but I tell you, you know, it's already happening. Life is imitating art in the form of 36,000 black-on-white rapes per year that gets little to no, and most of the time no, media play. But let me ask you this, Keith. Who is worse here? And we have a picture of these, of the subjects of this piece of art, if you will, on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can find it in the blog. Who is worse, the artist who commissioned this piece or the white losers who agreed to participate in the project? And you see them hanging here by their necks in this picture.
Look, white race traitors are the worst, the most pernicious element of this anti-white basis that we have to deal with. We need to understand this. No other race would tolerate race traitors. If you had a young black man that agreed to be one of the subjects for this lynching thing, and if it were not just aimed at whites, if it were really saying that black men should be lynched just like this Christina Edwards is apparently suggesting that white people need to be lynched for the sins of their ancestors, well, you know that that particular black person would be vilified, they'd be marginalized, they would be run out of town. Of course, this probably is a resume enhancer for these particular students. It will show that they are good potential employees of some major charity or non-organization sometime in the future.
Keith,
you'll see them pop up.
We got to take a break, but listen, I want you to hang on for 30 more seconds after the commercials because I want to get you to chime in on the top moments in your opinion of the show this year and what you expect from next year. So stay tuned, 30 more seconds.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze-Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze-Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. And I think it should go without saying, but obviously we don't support the lynching of anyone in actuality or in art. And it should be condemned across the board, as should any violence. You know, there was the first example this week of the federal government bringing attention to the knockout game when they issued hate crime charges against a perpetrator of the knockout game. He happened to be white. You know, there's hundreds of examples of blacks knocking out white people in the knockout game, and the government just refused to acknowledge the phenomenon. But the first and only time a white person has at least been caught doing it, and he's met with hate crime charges and national media attention for knocking out a 79-year-old black person. Now, let me say this. I hope the white person that did that receives his just punishment. I hope he receives a stiff punishment. But it just goes to show that hate crimes charges exist only to add years to the sentence of a crime committed by whites that would already be enforced by laws on the books. Now, this guy who did this to a 79-year-old black person is a scumbag. He's subhuman, this white guy that did it. And listen, I'm all for throwing the book at him. But don't you dare throw hate crimes charges on top of that when you have purposefully refused to do so in hundreds of recorded examples of it happening with a black guy doing it to an elderly and defenseless white person. Anyway, that's just my two cents.
It's like what Thomas Jefferson said. He said that we need to be a government of laws and not of men. Well, we are now a government of men. It's not what you did, but who did it and who it was done to. We have an unprincipled law now. There's no other way to describe it. And the left brought this bill before Congress 43 times and it voted down 43 times. They have a reptilian patience, and on the 44th try, they finally got it passed into law. Once it became law, everything that the opponents of the law said would happen have happened. And it's not reported anywhere that this is happening except on the political cesspool.
Well, it's absolutely right, Keith.
We're the only radio program that dares to touch this radioactive topic.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's selective enforcement of the law. You know, and if I'd have been there when this white thug had done this to this 79-year-old black guy, I would have fought the white guy, you know. But the point of the matter is this happens hundreds of times in a ratio of hundreds to one, and the government has only seen fit to prosecute one of these cases, and it's the only time a white person has done it. Anyway, again, a lot of that goes without saying, but I wanted to be sure to bring it up. Now, Keith, we got to go to Scoop Stanton. Your favorite moments, your top two or three moments of the show this year, in your opinion, and where would you like to see the show go from here? Make it quick, because we got to go to Scoop.
Well, I think the best show we had was the Trayvon Martin extravaganza that had all of the special guests on it. You know, you can name those off for the people. But I thought that we did as good a job, if not a better job, than anyone else in the media in covering what Trayvon Martin was really about.
And, you know, Keith, that course, just so happens
McDonald,
to...
go ahead.
I was just going to say that just so happens to be, I arbitrarily commissioned the official top 10 list of the show, but that is number 6 on my personal top 10 list, which we'll unveil to the audience in the third hour. That was a mesmerizing show. I think we were truly possessed that night. Everything, the stars were in alignment, and we had guests including Sam Dixon, Richard Spencer, I believe perhaps Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald, Kyle Rogers, you, myself, and others. That was a great show. Where do you want to see the show go from here and accomplish? What do you think we can anticipate in 2014? I'll let this be the final word.
Well, I tell you what, it's been served up to us on a silver platter, this number 4 ranking. We need to find some way to break through to mainstream media status with our show. We need help. We need people to come up with ideas about how to break through the iron curtain of liberal totalitarianism that prevents us having the same platform that a Sean Hannity or a Bill O'Reilly has, or even someone like Arianna Huffington. You know, why do all the nincompoop shows define the public discourse in America on political issues when there's such a thirst for what we do that people are finding ways to make us number four when we're, you know, quite frankly, not easy to find.
Well, listen, let me tell you this. I mean, we have built an establishment radio show. Of that, there is no doubt. Our audience has built this into a powerhouse program. Now, we're not mentioned, even though we keep company with the Rush Limbaughs and the Dennis Millers and the John Gibsons and the Michael Medveds and Mark Levins and Glenn Becks and Alex Joneses. We keep company with them as far as the cold, hard facts are concerned, as far as the ratings are concerned. But we're not mentioned in the same breath because of the content and because we don't compromise our beliefs, and we're not self-serving. We have a cause that's higher than our own reputations, but we're right there with them, and it's something that this audience has accomplished for us. Keith, I love you, brother. Happy New Year to you. I know you'll be back with us next week. We got to go to Scoop, but thank you for the role you've played in the development of this show for many years, including this one.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Scoop, Eddie, and everybody else. Have a great show.
We will. A great remainder of the show. We're going to get to the top 10 list in the final 2 hours. Eddie, the Bombardier Miller, and Winston Smith will be with me as we present those top 10 lists, both of the show and of the most hateful occurrences of the year, which Winston Smith compiles for us annually, and he'll be calling in at the top of the next hour. But Scoop Stanton now. Scoop's with us. This is his segment every broadcast. And it was serendipitous. Scoop emailed me his top 10 list, and he had no idea, he could have not known at that time, that I was browsing our archives of the radio program and the website itself and compiling my own top 10 list for presentation tonight when he emailed me. Many of the items that he came up with mirror that of my own. Some of the placement or the rankings have changed. So because we have so much overlap, Scoop, I'm going to have to limit you to perhaps your top three moments of the year, because if you give your entire list, it's going to steal much of my thunder in the main event, which is the third hour. But that being said, welcome to the show, brother.
Good evening, James, and good evening, rest of the Cesspool family. Well, without further ado, let me go to my top three. Number one, no particular order, actually, yeah. Number three, first off, the Anthony Weiner, Bill de Blasio, New York City mayoral election debacle. If you want to see the state of the Democratic Party, there's no place to look but then the city of New York, the city of my birth. You have Anthony Weiner taking pictures of his, you know what, sending it to people, and one of the people happened to be a guest on the political cesspool. And now she's doing pornographic films. Way to go.
Well, I don't know if the fact that she's doing porn is top for us, but I will mention that the interview that Sydney Leathers did with us in the wake of all that. Now, you got to remember, this was quite arguably the top political news story in the country in the summer of this year. Weiner was the front runner to win the mayoral position in New York City until Sydney Leathers single-handedly torpedoed that campaign, and she appeared on the political cesspool, not because she agreed with us or us with her, but that was certainly, at the very least, a noteworthy occurrence this year, if not an oddity for the political cesspool, that she came on our show at the height of her 15 minutes of fame. And even though we hosted her, we didn't compromise any principles. Number two, Scoop.
Number two, to piggyback on what Keith said, the George Zimmerman trial. I mean, we called her from day one, and other than the excellent show, which included everybody that ever appeared at once, my favorite part was yours truly reading the tweets from Pat Dallard, Anthony Cumia, and yours truly concerning Rachel Gentile.
Oh, yes.
That girl was gold.
And we'll talk more about that again in the third hour. Scoop's giving you his top three. I'll give you, again, I have dictatorial powers here, the official top 10. But all of the things that Scoop has mentioned so far are on my list in one order or another. Scoop, what's number one in your opinion that the show endured?
Number one occurred not even on radio. Concerning two movies that we both recently saw. One was Captain Phillips, and the other one was The Butler. And one late night, while you're drinking a box of cheap wine, and I was consuming some gentleman Jack, we decided to email each other and got into an email war of who was has more talent. Vocalist Frankie Valli from the early 60s just saying doo-wop, or guitarist Jimmy Page playing hard rock. And to me, other than visiting Memphis, it had to be one of my top 10 fun things I've ever done with the political cesspool.
Sam Bushman said his favorite is Miley. Not his favorite, but the top 10 was Miley Cyrus twerking this year. But Scoop, no one's going to know what you're talking about. And that certainly did not make my top 10, although I did enjoy the moment for what it was. But yes, I was up late, well past midnight, working on the show, doing show prep, and then we engage in this battle of the bands off air. Thank God. Scoop, 10 seconds remain. Where do you want to see the show go in 2014?
More syndication, more AM, FM affiliates, possibly Sirius XM. I'd like to get Open Anthony to give us a shout out. Also, if you have provided good or service, for God's sakes, let's advertise on Liberty News Radio, because the fans are listening. The fans will patronize you.
Top 10 can't.